copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I'm going to point to learning from mistakes. So observing what we have been able to observe in the past 20 to 30 years, maybe a little bit more, and then trying to learn from those opportunities that God has given us. It's what I lead is an organization called Comibam. I'm executive director, but there's a big team of people around me. We really try to work together, not from the top-bottom leadership. People are spread all over the world, and we're all faced with this new world, new reality of mobile and cyber leadership. So my team's based from Jordan all the way to Argentina. Difficult. Doesn't work out really well as we would love to really be able to make it function. There are alliances in 25 countries, mission associations in 25 countries. And Comibam just brings those alliances together to do things together that will benefit all of the work that they do in their respective countries, and then connect globally with the global church and the global mission movement. And that's what we do. We have a conference coming up in August. So I've told some of the leaders here, my body is here, but my mind is not. Really busy with all of that right now. I expect somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 people in Bogota, Colombia. We only do that conference every 10 years. By the way, we do smaller events also to more focused activities. But my own experience growing up as a pastor's kid, moving around Brazil quite a bit, and then going into mission with ON on the doulos, and then 10 years in Brazil training, mobilizing, sending people, and then out to Central Asia for several years. And then now back in Puerto Rico, where my wife is from. We have been helping mobilize from there. So I wanted to just bring the word leadership. I call this learning from our mistakes, but the word leadership in this context is a bit broader than the mission leader, organizational leader type thing. We are more interested in what happens when people go out and do work at the ground level. That level of leadership, they will have some leadership. They may not be leading an organization, they may not be leading a team, but they will be relating to locals, as you have well illustrated to us. They will be perhaps leading those locals to the Lord, to Christ, and in some way trying to disciple them and lead them on to become disciple makers as well. So that's some form of leadership, and this is more based on that. So we have studied, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, we've studied what missionaries from our part of the world have done. In their context for the past 10 years or so. We've done 3 researches. We're completing the 3rd one now. And we've asked a number of questions that have to do with that. And what I'm presenting to you is based on research, on information, and also on observation. So one of the things we have observed is many of our people don't listen well. And that's probably not new to anyone here. They don't get to know, therefore they don't get to know the local flavor, the local culture, the local form of doing things really well. And they don't respond to issues and challenges in a locally acceptable or the local way of doing things, the cultural way of doing things from a local perspective. So. This brings up the issue of this, the very point we were just discussing is that wrong leadership model? Is it just a different leadership model? But so we, one of the things we want to do is challenge them to study it, be aware of it. So the first step is be aware that you don't know how to do it right. If you're not listening, if you're not observing, if you're not learning, then you need to do that. That's something that needs to be done. The other point is it relationship-based or strategy-based? And that question's already come up. So is it a documented agreement between the two parties to do what they're going to do together? So this Brazilian, this Mexican goes to work in the Middle East somewhere, and they're going to work together with local Christians to try and help them and help the church grow and develop and serve together, serve the Lord together, whatever they're going to do. Do they do that based on relationships or on a strategy and a plan and a document? So is one or the other wrong or right? And our tendency, our people, tend to go on the basis of relationship. And so the experience has been, so talking about experience, I said to you, I'm talking from experience. Experience has been, they all go on the basis of the relationship, and many times it works out well. But then they work also not just with the local culture, they also work with other cultures that are also present in that mission environment, whatever they are. And that was where, okay, there's a third way, maybe a fourth way, a fifth way, six, seven, 10 different ways of relating, collaborating, working together at this on this cross-cultural leadership experience that they have. And the experience has been, from our part of the world, need to adapt, need to hear, need to learn from the locals and from others, and from Americans, and from Europeans, and from Africans, and find a common way in that local context. And I'll come back to that a little bit more in a minute. Then our tendency in ministry and in field of mission ministry has been to expect easy and quick results in whatever we're there to do. That comes from the context of our church and ministry work, where churches grow quickly, where ministries develop quickly, often without enough and adequate structure. So that they were trying to multiplicate that, to repeat that wherever they go in the mission context that they're serving. And big mistakes have been made there, like trying to bring nationals to work along with them very quickly, rather than investing, observing, ministering, developing, strengthening, and then slowly integrating them and connecting with them and serving along with them. So expecting easy and quick results has been one of our big mistakes at field level, and people have suffered both on both sides, both people who are there to serve minister from our part of the world have suffered the pains of those issues, those crashes and clashes, and locals who thought they were being involved and invited into being a part of it, they were going to work together, it was too quick, and then eventually they realized, no, we need to back out of it. So that can be a very painful process. I'll go on to talk about common challenges faced by most Latin Americans serving and leading cross-culturally. And I have 4 points there. These are, by the way, on the paper that you should have received. They're just an outline. One of the big challenges is inadequate structure and support from their mission-sending entity. Latinos have gone out, Latin Americans, or Ibero-Americans as we call them, have gone out to many parts of the world without adequate structure and support from their mission entity. You have to understand that mission involvement international cross-cultural mission involvement from our part of the world is very new. We've only been really at it more intensely for 40 years maybe. From some countries a little bit more, a little longer than that. But when compared to 100, 150, 200, 300 years of mission history and learning from other parts of the world, like Europe, that's nothing. So our structures are still developing and learning. This is part of the learning process. These are some of the things that are being learned now that need to be implemented. And with the research, which I'll can mention a little bit later, we are feeding back and trying to cause this growing process. So as you come across Latinos in your environments, in your mission environments, be aware that they may not have the adequate structure. Should be your response to that? We have to have our response to that, which is to strengthen and develop that. But what should be your response to that? Well, you know, prayerfully help them, discuss them, and try to strengthen their whatever it is that they need to do to see greater structure development and support from their home entities. Lack of a broad historic perspective, I already mentioned that briefly, but missionaries from Latin America have also come to Europe, particularly, with very little understanding of the history of the church and the strength and weaknesses of the church currently in Europe as well. So, even when they do come with this heart to work together and collaborate, there is this big challenge of they don't know where they come from and how they got here, and they need to get there. So that's an important part. If they need to take a course or just read a book, something that helps them get up to speed and learn and hear more so that they can better understand the scenery would be very, very helpful. Third, learning of a new language and communication skills. For many in Latin America, it's a big challenge. If they have to learn a very different language, and that's why a lot of Latinos go to Spain and Portugal, and maybe Italy and France, which are all Latino-based languages, and it's a little easier for them to learn that. But when they have to learn a very, very different language, then that can be a challenge for many. It's just the fact that they grow up with this one language. So just so you know, up until very recently, even that people would learn French in some schools in various countries in Latin America, but that was it. There was no German available, nothing of the other languages. Maybe at some university level you could learn Latin, would be an option there, an optional course. But no German, no French, Swedish and other European languages wouldn't be available there. So, and then this, the ability, unless they grew up in a multilingual context, which is something that's happening now with the indigenous groups in Latin America, some of the larger ones, like the Quechuas. Some of you know about the Quechuas and others. They grow up multilingual anyway. And so they have this ability that they grow up with to hear a different language and to quickly adapt and learn. And they are beginning to join the mission, global mission force now. So we've seen Bolivians from mountains of Bolivia, Quechuas, going to India and being very successful at learning one of the languages in India very quickly, as opposed to a Spanish-only speaking Bolivian going there and having a very, very challenging experience. So learning a language, that has been one of the challenges. And then intercultural skills. We are a melting pot in many parts of Latin America. There's cultures from all over the world. But the problem is, the thing is, most of those have really been assimilated and mixed and formed this one big mix thing in our part of the world, which is it's helpful, but Latinos will think we already are multicultural. Why do we need to learn intercultural skills? So that can be a challenge, and I would encourage you, in Europe, if you're working with Latinos, to help them go beyond that and say, okay, I do need to study this local culture where I am now, and learn how to better relate with that. So my third, the third aspect is, what are we doing to ensure we learn from these mistakes and better equip future Latinos who go out into the mission? So number one point is research, report, analyze, and consider future initiatives. As I've already mentioned, we've done research. The first research we did was, what are Latino missionaries like? What's their profile? We've done a profile study. We did that 10 years ago. We invited 1,100 Latino missionaries from a list of 5,000 that we collected information from, and we kind of filtered it down so it wasn't too difficult to do. 5,000 is harder to do than 1,000. Invited 1,100, and 400 people responded to that questionnaire. And from there, we put out a report and try to draw at least a general profile. That has been a report that we've been used often, and regularly we go back to that and see. So where are they? 110 questions. So it's a long report, a long questionnaire. How are they sent? How are they called? Where are they equipped? What's their vision for the future? Are they being well supported? And so forth. And then we feed that back to the mission agencies, to the churches, and to the missionaries, and say, look at this. This is where you are, in a general sense, of course, with those studies, and then, you know, never very precise and specific. But they are able to consider that and see what are some of the things they need to do to improve. One of the issues, as perhaps many of you know, is there was a big dropout rate of Latino missionaries, early return from the field. And so we wanted to know why. And that profile document helped us understand some of that. One item was lack of adequate equipping before going to mission field. And when I say that, we wanted to look at it not just at the academic level, but at very practical level, skills, careers, and things that they could use at the field level. Very beautiful to hear about the Korean group that it's basically using professionals and people who go out and serve in the marketplace. We have the other research we've done is to hear the mission leaders or the Christian leaders, pastors, and people in the field where these Latinos have been working, ask them, what do they think? How do they view? So it wasn't just ask the missionary what's their personal perspective and their story, their profile. Ask the leaders locally to give us their perspective, their profile of the Latino missionaries working among them. When we told a few people in various parts of the world we were going to do this, they said, it's very dangerous to do that. You're going to hear stuff you don't want to hear. And so we said, no, we want to hear it. That's what we want to do. We want to gain a broader perspective, not just our own of ourselves, but what others think of us. And based on that, we've come up with this one final item that I'm going to bring to you. And that is, we are encouraging these our missionaries, our mission structures as well, to connect intentionally with other mission networks and encourage informal, intentional, field-level, practical relationships and partnerships. So summarizing up to this point, we're still completing the third research, as I had mentioned earlier, where we hope to gain more insight specifically on the sending aspect of that. So we've looked at the missionary himself, we've looked at the field where they are working, how they see them. Now we want to look at what are the sending, the people that are behind them, sending them out. How do they see the work they are doing? What are the issues there? But from what we have so far, we understand that for leaders in our part of the world, both at the very ground levels and up from there, one of the ways to move forward in learning from our mistakes is they need to connect very intentionally with other mission networks to learn from them, to experience and to work together with them. But encourage very informal, because of our tendency to try to work more on a relationship, on a relational type of partnership rather than a formal type of relationship. So go start from there and change as you go and find other ways to do that as you go. Find the third way as you go. But also begin at field level rather than trying to learn and implement these things and apply and grow from the top bottom. So encourage your field leaders, your missionaries, encourage them to partner, to connect, to have practical relationships and partnerships in the field. So I'll tell a very quick story and I'll end there. We have
what's in it? A quick story.
Okay, very quick story. A few years ago, I came to Central Asia consultation event. I don't know how many know that event. And some Brazilians, Latinos who were working in Central Asia were there. And they were telling us this story. They came to a certain Central Asian country wanting to start a health ministry to the national community, to the local community, in language abilities and language issues. The wife was a speech therapist, is that what you call it? And the husband was a medical manager. So they came there and they said, okay, we're going to start something here. But they found there was already something there, set up a ministry with a clinic with all kinds of health services. So they prayed about it and they said, okay, well, rather than start our own, should we just join them and offer what we wanted to do, partner with them, work with them? They decided to do that. Well, unknowingly, 3 months later, all of the other missionaries that had been there for years and were running that ministry were all kicked out at the same time. They had received a phone call and had 24 hours back and go. So the missionaries called them and said, we don't know why you came and showed up, but it looks like you're going to have to run this. And so they were scared of that, but they said, okay, we'll, if you continue to help us somehow, we'll continue to do this. And they had been doing that for a while when I met them. And it was beautiful to see already some good fruit, not just in the health ministry, but also in Christian discipleship and ministry that they were running. And I said, so did your mission organization really tell you to do this? They said, no, it was just, we prayed about it. We didn't know what to do there, but it seemed like God was leading us to partner and to work in this informal partnership model. Come to the field, learn from one another, work together with one another. And we did it, and that was a successful story. Could tell you some unsuccessful stories, but we'll stop there.
Thank you, Dizin. Thank you.